Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 19, episodes 4, 5, 6, and 7. Before that, though, a couple things. One, last week we discussed whether it's called a Russell seed was the first time we'd seen a contestant's name in an episode. And no, there was one last season, season 18, one of those coach moments.
Yeah. Good catch.
Also, that season had an episode called The Dragon Slayer. So, you know, that's coach. And then there's been two episodes with Jeff's name in it that we've seen in season 14. Let's just call Jeff on the phone. And season 44, I can't wait to see Jeff.
Oh, I didn't even consider New Era. None of the New Era have contestant names in them, right?
Correct. So the only one that actually has a contestant name that we've seen so far has been one of those coach moments, which I think was probably referencing coach himself, not just like a coach. I can't remember.
Oh, no, it definitely was. It was when he did the whole thing where he added water to the beans and so they had to cook longer, and then it started raining and then they all got burnt.
Right.
That was one of those coach moments. I also researched this a little bit, and I think I found another one that is maybe not quite so obvious, but definitely is a thing. And I'm going to keep vamping while I find it. The first episode of Survivor China, season 15, was called
something with chicken.
A chicken's a little bit smarter. And yeah. I think that was about the contestant whose name was not actually Chicken, but they called Chicken because he was a chicken farmer. So similar to Coach.
I thought about that, but because of how it was phrased as like a chicken, I thought it probably wasn't referring to like the chicken.
Oh, but I'm pretty sure that the quote is like, a chicken's a little bit smarter than chicken. Like,
right. So the first chicken in that statement would not be the contestant's name.
Yeah, but it's like they're saying it because his name is Chicken. Like, yeah. I feel like it's relevant.
Yeah, I thought about that one too. I had ruled it out for why I just said, but yeah, that one fits in.
Also, if it is, this is very much like letter of the law thing. Like, it is an episode title with a contestant's name in it.
Yeah. Another thing unrelated to that or the episode we're going to talk about, I just was scrolling on Instagram and somebody posted a advantage idea that they called the accountability advantage, that they're just like posting an idea of an advantage that could be included in the new era. And their idea for the accountability advantage is if you play this advantage, you get to go in the voting booth with somebody and see who they vote for. And then they would like leave and then you cast your vote. So like, it's not giving you like huge advantage or anything. It just lets you see who one person specifically would vote for.
That feels like a potentially giant advantage.
I mean, I could see it changing plans. Like if a team is trying to like split votes or whatever, they might be like, okay, I think this person has this advantage and they would likely play it on me. So I should go with this split rather than this split or something like that.
Yeah. I could also see it being used as like a I'm looking to see if someone's about to be blindsided so I can tell them to use their idol type of thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
However, I think that like, okay, if that gets used on me, I might change my vote to whatever that person thinks I'm actually voting.
Yeah.
Like, if I've been lying to you, I'm going to change it for that reason.
Yeah.
As long as, like, my number is not crucially important in how this goes.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. I don't see them going for it, just because I feel like the voting booth is, like,
sacred.
Yeah, like, you don't mess with that, but who knows? They could change it. And then another thing before we get to this episode, we got another listener mail this week from Brian, who has written to us before.
Brian.
He said, great first episode for season 19. I really enjoyed Patrick saying the lyrics to Psalms and Chris guessing. That was fun. Also, if you need a good shepherd's pie recipe, use Gordon Ramsay's. It's actually very easy and delicious. Any link to it? Listeners, if you want it, you can go to bit.ly/tribalcouncilpie, and that'll take you to the link. bit.ly/tribalcouncilpie.
Does it have a bottom crust?
I don't think so. I didn't look super... No, it does not. I remember looking at the recipe. It is not, but I think, going to try to make it sometime in the next few weeks.
Oh, this looks delicious.
Yeah. It has like richer gravy, I think, because it's got some wine in it too, which is good.
That makes sense. I was like, that something about this looks amazing.
I mixed cheese into my mashed potatoes, but he does more of cheese on top to get like a little bit crispy. Yeah. So if you're interested in that, that was bit.ly/tribalcouncilpie. He also went on to say, I wanted to let you guys know that Natalie's jacket is from season 37, so you have a ways to go. But I do like that Natalie's jacket was foreshadowed as a future plot point 10 years before the Natalie's jacket meme was born. And he said, for fantasy, I actually started with my wife and a group of friends having, after hearing y'all's fantasy, I pay for a cameo at the end of each season as the reward from the winner. So far, we've had Tina from Australia, somebody from season 38, Owen from season 43, Danny from season 44. He attached the spreadsheet, which I'll share with you, Patrick. It is quite elaborate.
I like elaborate spreadsheets.
Yeah. He says, I like to throw advantages and fun rules in there, like shot in the dark where you guess who will win the season before it starts and get a massive reward at the end of if you're right. As you can see, I won this last season. I swear it wasn't rigged except for the fact that I made the rules. Anyways, thanks for always producing great content. Brian, was that the right link for you?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can see it all.
Yeah. So what looking through a spreadsheet gave me a couple ideas. One is I think we should draft in this new season.
Drafting is better.
I think we should do it after the first episode though.
Okay.
Especially with them doing like 2 hour or hour and a half, whatever they've switched to.
They're doing a 2 hour season premiere.
Right. Especially with that, because I feel like with how 40, whatever number we're on, 45 went, I felt like they did a good job of like letting us get to know like everybody. And so I think getting to watch the premiere and then draft would be pretty good. The tab he has at the bottom called season 45 points. I put green highlights next to some fun categories of additions we could add. Like we usually get points that the players have earned from a set website. But I liked some of these additions. So the ones that I thought were interesting for listeners, since they don't see the spreadsheet, were one is called Challenge Beast, where at the end of the season, the player that wins the most challenges throughout the game gets bonus points. Wins most individual immunity challenges, also bonus points. Playing with Fire is the player who at the end who received the most votes against them. The Alligabler is the player who received the least amount of votes throughout the season. There's also bonus points if somebody makes a fake idol or advantage that I thought was interesting, and bonus points if a player does something that Jeff says is a survivor first. There's a whole bunch of other point ones on here, but those are the ones that kind of stood out. Some of them I thought were overpowered. Like in his email, Brian mentioned the shot in the dark thing, but it's like 100 points, which is huge. And I feel like if you're picking that person as your shot in the dark, they're probably also drafted on your team, which means you're probably already getting a bunch of points from them, but that might not necessarily always be the case. So I felt like it was kind of like double dipping on points.
What if we make the rule that like only matters if they win, and so you have to pick someone on someone else's team? So like you're picking like a winner pick off of your team.
Like a winner pick that's not on your team?
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Not on your team is but I'm gonna play off your team. Yeah.
Yeah, I could be down with that. Another thing that he and his friends do, because he does it with like a total of 6 people in their league, it looks like, for this last season, is before the merge, they allowed trades. And so each week when we're recording, we could offer like, see if anybody wants to trade players. Like, hey, I'll give you Keturah for Kelly or something, which could be interesting.
Yeah, I like this. So they have.
He also has like the last.
They have six people and three people per. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then there's also like some extra rules of there's he had like a mulligan rule. So if you lose one of your three, like if they lost one of their people in the first episode, they got to pick a new person to join their team that could be a duplicate of somebody else. And they have some other like ongoing things like season to season stuff, but yeah.
Do you know? Oh, I see. Okay, sorry. I was just looking at the spreadsheet and trying to figure some stuff out. Yeah, I say that in the next couple of weeks before season 46, we play with this a little bit and change some stuff. Oh, their mulligan rule is only if because of injury.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Like a Bruce in 44. Sorry. Yes. Yeah. 44, not 45.
Right. Oh, there's also you everybody gets a super survivor advantage where one time during the season you can play it and you get double points that on that player that week, I think is what it is. When
Yeah, that's what it says.
yeah.
I like that.
Which I would guess he probably has a list of that. Most people waited until like late in the season to do it.
He has a rule in here called "Got Nothing for Ya." That's just if your team is eliminated pre-merge, you're done for the season. Draft better next time. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so we could check where we pull the points from and then maybe add in some fun bonuses. And probably we should assign some points to the season long ones too that we've been tracking, but just like we've been tracking them for fun and they haven't factored into our actual survivor points, because that could be some fun. Like the past few seasons, you've like taken the win with episodes to go, and that would add more excitement of like, but if so and so pulls off like the season long stuff, there's big points there too.
Yeah, I like this. This also doesn't when we first started this, we tracked it ourselves, but it started to get tricky with like crying on screen or island living and things like that, where it looks like the ones that they are tracking are all pretty obvious ones,
Yeah, and
like winning the immunity challenge and stuff.
we could do like a hybrid with a site that auto tracks it, or just narrow these down to what we want to do that are trackable ourselves. I don't mind tracking it ourselves. Like, I think at one point I was kind of tired of doing that, but I think that was more of trying to pay attention to like the little things that, like, most of the stuff on their spreadsheet you could like check after the fact, like on the Wikipedia or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of what I was thinking, 'cause like I think it changes the way that I watch the show when I am like trying to track who's crying on screen.
Right.
But it is a little bit easier when it's just like, okay, I remember who played an advantage. I remember who won an immunity challenge. I can mark this down after the fact.
Yeah. So all that to be
Cool.
said
Thank you,
is,
Brian.
yeah, thanks, Brian. I think you've kind of reinvigorated my excitement for the Survivor Fantasy stuff and made me want to draft again. So
Now, here's the deal,
thanks.
Brian. If Chris slaughters me this season, it's all your fault because I've been winning consistently. So if this wrench in the system makes Chris win, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
You're gonna lose. That's, I mean, there we go.
That's true. I guess that would be a real Ashley move from Brian's fantasy team. Fantasy League. Sorry, Ashley.
To lose.
Yes. I have one more thing before we get into this episode of Survivor. Typically, we do some like lightning round things or some discussion of the new season leading up to it. And listeners, just know we are recording this on February 4th. I have seen rumors online, and maybe even more than rumors, confirmations that the cast reveal and all of that is happening on February 5th. And
Ooh.
so when you are listening to this, the cast reveal probably will have already happened, but it
Well, I mean, they
hasn't as
have.
of recording.
I mean, some of that's not rumors because, like, Survivor has been posting the casting videos of the contestants for the past couple of weeks.
Right, they're doing the whole like releasing the bios and releasing like
Yeah.
The release like it normally looks
right.
is happening tomorrow, I think. Yesterday for our listeners. But we have, at the time of recording, we haven't seen that yet. So we're not ignoring it. You'll hear about it next episode, listeners. But anyway, let's get, we have four episodes to cover and it's already been a bit. So let's hit these episodes kind of quick because a lot happens and not a lot happens at the same time. Hungry for a win.
Yeah. We start the night after Ben being eliminated. Jason is like happy about that, but feeling the struggle of being on Survivor and just it's rough living conditions and stuff like that. We go to the next day, day nine. Russell says he's willing to get rid of Jason if necessary. They get tree mail. That is a map that says the chief must take two on a mission with a potential food reward. And so Mick chooses to take Russell and Natalie with him. And so we'll meet up with them in a bit after some time with Galoo, where Shambo is talking about her time at Foa Foa and how she was appreciated there, but doesn't feel like she fits in at her camp. Eric talks to Shambo and says, like, hey, if you've got the clue for the idol at the other camp, it's probably in a similar spot at this camp. Where John runs up and interrupts, also asking about the same stuff, and she tells them the clue info. They get similar tree mail, and Russell chooses to take Shambo and Dave to the meetup, which turns out is a reward challenge.
I was a little bit surprised that Shambo so openly shares this, considering that she kind of has a whole thing about, like, I don't like the people at this camp. She's like, yeah, sure, I'll tell you this.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too. I wonder if it's just of, like, maybe trying to, like, keep them on her side so they don't vote her out if they go to tribal eventually. But that feels like a decision you could save for later.
Yeah.
This reward challenge, they enter this huge circle of rocks on the beach, and there's a crate of chickens that's labeled a reward, and there's a treasure chest. They're unsure of what to do, so they just kind of go bust into the stuff. Shambo grabbing some chickens.
And Natalie. That's with Natalie.
And then they find like a note of information that's like, nope, you can't touch those yet. You got to follow, you got to like play bocce ball first, which I thought was just like a weird setup of like they should have had the cage of chickens be like locked if that was going to be the case or something. It's like, okay, we want you to figure out what to do, but don't do that. Like, you got to do the things we want you to do. So it's like, well, then have the rules more clear or have Jeff be there or something.
Or even just like a cameraman say like, hey, open up a treasure chest. Like, I kind of liked the idea that it's just them and Jeff's not there. But like, there are staff there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, say like, hey, open the treasure chest and read it. And you don't even have to show that part on the show.
Right. Or like,
I did think the chicken cage.
Kind of fun. Yeah. But like, they easily could have totally flubbed that and just the chickens run loose. And it's like, well, so much for that prize.
Well, I mean...
But maybe that would have been fun. Yeah. Yeah, so they play bocce ball. Galoo wins. They get the chickens. And they're carrying some, like, pillows and stuff, which I think came from the treasure chest as well. So we get some time with Galoo, where Eric hunts for the idol while some others are doing chores around. So he has some spare time. John wakes up and sees him hunting. We see Eric find the idol. He's very excited about that. The reward crew returns.
He notably does not tell Shambo.
Right. The reward crew returns and we find out the chickens have names, Daisy, Ella, and Millie. And we get some time with Foa Foa. Russell talking about how his alliance is fluid, bouncing between people. Right now they show him like allying mostly with Natalie. Natalie thinks that she can beat him at the end, so she feels safe with that alliance. We go into the next day, day 10. Shambo's caring for the chickens. Some of them want to eat a chicken. Shambo doesn't want that yet. A chicken escapes. While Eric is chasing after one, he gets clotheslined by an actual clothesline.
Yeah, that was a fun moment.
It was fun and looked painful. That was in the preview for this week from the last episode. So... I was waiting for it. There's some frustration with Yasmin not doing much around camp. And we go to the next day, day 11, and the immunity challenge, where they have to race across a net carrying blocks and then build a block tower and then do similar thing across a rope bridge with more blocks and a higher tower. It's pretty close challenge.
This was also like felt like an obstacle course challenge from the new era. There were like so many steps to this challenge that it felt right out of season 45.
I liked I liked how tall the towers were. So they had to like use teamwork to like get on each other's shoulders to get the blocks as high as they needed to do. I like this one.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was very close, but Foa Foa pulled out the win, which is their first immunity win, right?
Yeah, their first immunity win.
Yeah, so we spend the rest of the episode with Galoo, which is not tons of time. We go to Galoo. Russell's not happy with Monica's performance in the challenge. There's also discussion of Shamba losing a chicken and Yasmin not helping at camp. Lila kind of split mostly goes down to like either Monica or Yasmin more so than Shambo. Yasmin says that she doesn't work around camp because if you do stuff and you make a mistake with it, then people can blame you for that. But if you don't do anything, you can't make a mistake. So
it's smart thinking,
Kind of maybe ignoring the fact that if you don't do stuff, people might come at you for not doing stuff, but you know, the rest of it pretty solid. Which they talk about her not doing stuff at tribal council. Monica gets called out for being bad in a challenge, Yasmin for not working around camp, and eventually Yasmin gets voted out 8-2, and we head into episode
five. Those two votes coming from coming on Monica from Yasmin and Shambo,
right?
Just noting that because it becomes a point of contention later on.
Yeah, the Shambo vote, or Shambo voting for Monica. Next episode, walking on thin ice. Shambo that night feeling left out since everyone else voted in agreement but her. We go to day 12. The ocean's getting really strong. They show us that on Galoo with Eric's, he's doing some exfoliating by rubbing sand into his face and then goes to wash it off, and he gets like real mad at the ocean here because it like waves crash into him, and he just like kind of like slaps at the ocean, but it's like, that's not going to do anything, man. The ocean also waves coming in strong at Foa Foa as well. Tree Mail hints at some sort of eating challenge. Liz says she's worried about Ashley in an eating challenge. Russell says he's worried about Liz. Russell doesn't like Liz pointing out something about Ashley because she's like stirring the pot strategically, and he doesn't want other people doing that. That's his job to do. And we go to the reward challenge, which is a sort of like a gross food eating challenge. This is a little bit better on Survivor's part because they've done some real bad ones in the past that's fairly racist of like, hey, look at this food that this culture eats. It's so gross, right? This one was like raw stuff from the ocean that typically I don't think people would eat, that he puts in a blender with various liquids, and it's purposely made to just be gross stuff.
I think that there was a version of this on maybe Fiji, where it was more like this, of like basically seafood smoothies, which sounds pretty gross. Seafood smoothies sounds disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with you that I like this version of it better.
The reward is some barbecue items to take back to camp. We don't need to talk through all of these, but some of the options that people had were like, they spin a wheel and it lands, and whatever it lands on, Jeff makes a smoothie out of. So like, one of them was giant clam and Jeff's choice, and Jeff chose to pick octopus because a lot of flies liked it, and sea snail and noni juice with a seaweed garnish. Another one was jellyfish and milk, which was pretty gross. The last one, was Ashley versus Dave. It was sea slug guts and water that Jeff purposely didn't blend all the way to leave a little chunky because he's so kind. Dave successfully did this. Ashley does not, which gives Galoo the win. And I like, this happens with other, we've seen this happen with other food challenges before. And I mean, it's easy being like the armchair quarterback sort of thing here watching, but like she downed like 90% of this glass and then quit. And it's like, you drank so much of it already. Like, I think she had.
Oh, she quits because she like is puking. She like runs through the bushes and pukes.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I didn't see her run to the bush and puke part.
Yeah, so she like She just hits her limit and she pukes.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm like, how did you get that far in and like not able to finish this? But logically, it is like because she is now puking and so she's losing.
Right. And Dave, I think it was mostly Dave or people on his team were being pretty rough with this, but like smart strategically of like making like gagging noises and stuff to kind of egg her on into puking, which worked.
Yeah. I agree with you that I am pretty sure that was Dave. I have now watched 7 episodes of this season. The men on Galoo can never remember any of their names.
Oh, there's a point in my notes that's going to come up where there's a confessional or something with Laura. And I was like, there's somebody named Laura this season?
Yeah, she's like is a major plot point in the next episode. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
The same thing happened to me with Brett. I was like, there's a Brett?
Uh-huh. It's like, I mean, we've spent like no time with Galoo, so it makes sense that we wouldn't know them as much, but we're in episode 5 at this point, so you think we would know more people? After that reward challenge, they also get to send, Galoo gets to send somebody as a spy to Foa Foa, and they send Shambo again. So we get some time with Foa Foa. Shambo was like, hey, I like you all, but I did want some steak, wanted some protein. Ashley is worried about how they lost the challenge and how that might reflect on her. Natalie tries to make her feel better. Shambo shares the idol clue with all of them as well. She thinks Ben may have been voted out with the idol. Liz thinks that Russell has it and calls him out to his face, which Russell's not going to like that. Galoo, the other Russell, says that sending Shambo was her punishment for losing a chicken. And that cleans the slate. They have a huge barbecue platter, but Russell is struggling to get the fire made, and Dave is kind of like giving suggestions, which Russell's getting annoyed with. Lots of passive aggressive bickering back and forth. Dave's like, no, I'm not going to help unless Russell or the chief or whoever asks for help. And they're like, come on, Dave, just do it. And he's like, I'm not going to do it unless he asks. Kind of annoying. I did note, though, during this barbecuing, they have a huge clam shells that they're using as like plates and serving dishes, which was very fun. That's some island.
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's cool.
Yeah. That night, pouring down rain, they're regretting the blankets over the tarp decision that we discussed last week. We go to the next day. It has been raining so hard that it's their camp at Galoo's getting kind of like swamped out by tree mail. They're all very cold and wet and miserable. I took a screenshot or like took a picture of the screen just for like, I guess my own record or whatever, how like wrinkled and gross their hands are during all of this. It's awful. I feel like,
well, and this,
go ahead.
Like the next episode is worse.
Yeah. I feel like every season recently, I keep going through this roller coaster wave of like, I should apply to be on Survivor. Maybe I should. And then there'll be like something like that, that it's like, wow, this is miserable. But then I'll be like, well, maybe that's why they do it in Fiji all the time now, because it doesn't rain like on end like this so much. And then I see somebody's back with like 1,000 bug bites and I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. I was like, maybe this is why they don't go to Samoa much more often, because like, wow, this episode had like the ocean being really rough and then also the rain just nonstop. It is a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, they go to the immunity challenge, and Shambo gets to rejoin Galoo, which they like barely even recognize that she's joining them again. Clearly not super like invested in her as a tribe mate. They're in this challenge, a man and a woman from each tribe hold a rope that holds up like a basketball net, essentially, where people are going to shoot coconuts into them. And there's several people that have to sit out, Shambo included. This is when I noticed her hands, because she like holds up her hands like, I can't do anything with these. And the people holding the ropes are Russell and Laura versus Russell and Liz. And this is where in my notes I was like, wait, somebody's named Laura on this season? Who knew? It's just pouring down rain during this. Russell Hance is the first to drop, followed by Liz, which means Galoo wins again. So we get the rest of the episode with Foa Foa. Jason says that it's his first day that he's convinced they're at a disadvantage. And I was like, just now, after having lost like a billion challenges, like it took until this point where you're like, maybe we are at a disadvantage. Russell asks if anybody wants to go home. Nobody volunteers. It's pouring down rain, so they're all huddled like in the shelter, which means they can't go like scramble and talk to each other individually. So they're just like, let's just go to tribal council and vote and see what happens, I guess. So they do. And Ashley gets voted out 5-1.
Yeah, there's not much at tribal council.
Yeah. One of the last things Ashley does say before getting voted out is that she trusts Russell. And then he votes her out. We go to episode 6. This is the man test. What?
But before we do that, Chris, I think we need a little break in these four episodes. I gave you a heads up about this last time, but I want to talk about some movies from this era. These four episodes that we're talking about were all released in October of 2009. And so I went to Box Office Mojo and went to October 2009. And got the top 5 movies from October 2009.
Mm-hmm.
That made the most money that month.
Right.
For each of these 5 movies, I have the director, the top 6 billed actors, the first 6 words of the description on IMDb, and a wild card hint that is something else I found on the IMDb page that is interesting and felt like a maybe worthwhile hint. So director, actors, description, and wild card.
Yeah.
So for each of these movies, I'm going to let you pick what you want out of those things and kind of like choose your own adventure a little bit to try to see it. I'm not like keeping a score or anything, but the idea is like how little information can you get these movies on?
Right. So I would love to say that I could just throw out a guess immediately, but I think getting the context of knowing one movie will help pinpoint a time frame in my mind. So could I get, which one, are we starting with 1 or 5?
I was going to start with 1, but I could start with 5.
No, start with 1. I would like the director.
Okay. I will tell you that, I think that 1 might be the movie I was most surprised by on this list. The director is Peter Billingsley. Like Ralphie from A Christmas Story fame, Peter Billingsley.
Oh, I didn't know that, who that was. Okay. I want to come back to that movie.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to movie 2.
Okay.
And I would also like the director.
Okay. Oren Peli. I didn't recognize this name, but I was like, maybe Chris would know this name.
Oren Peli. Can you give me the first 6 words of movie 2 description?
Of the description? After moving into a suburban home. Which time, I will tell you, knowing the movie, that is a very good hint.
Yeah, is it? Well, so is it Disturbia?
Ooh, no. Do you want some actors for it or do you want a wild card hint?
No, I'm going to come back to that. Let's go to movie 3.
Okay.
And I'll take the wild card hint for movie 3.
Interesting. Okay. Of the 32 rules, only 10 are revealed in the movie.
Zombieland.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Right. It's like, that's either going to be nothing to you or you're going to get it right away.
Well, there's only so many movies that talk about a list of rules. Okay. Let's go to movie 4.
Okay.
Wild card worked well with 3, so I'll go with that.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. This wild card hit, I just listed some other people on the cast that were not in the top 6 build. Oh. So it also featured Catherine Keener and O'Hara, okay. James Gandolf, Mark Ruffalo, Forrest Whitaker, and Paul Dano. All of those people have small roles in this movie.
Is it movie 43?
No.
Okay.
That's a good hint, or that's a good guess, but no.
Okay. James Gandolf.
Yeah.
Forrest Whitaker, you said? What were the other people you said?
Mark Ruffalo and Paul Dano.
Give me the director of that one.
Spike Jonze.
Man, he's had such a weird career of directing. All right, let's go back to movie 1. This is Peter Billingsley directed.
Yes.
Give me the actors. I'm really just bouncing around making this as confusing as possible for the readers.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, so directed by Peter Billingsley, number one movie of October 2009, top six billed actors. Should I do an order from like top billed to,
I mean,
or
you're
should I
giving me
just?
all of them, right? So, yeah.
Okay, Vince Vaughn, Jason Bateman, Faison Love, Jon Favreau, Malin Ackerman, and Kristen Bell.
Vince Vaughn is number.
I will say he's the only person I knew was in this
The second one you said
movie.
was who's the second person you said?
Jason Bateman. Is
Yikes.
that how you say it? I did not know who that person was.
I know her from some, she's like in a Ben Stiller movie where they like are going to, or they like get married and then he like realizes he doesn't like her, and then while they're on their like honeymoon or something. I can't remember what that movie is. What would be a movie that you would, it's fun. Oh, is this The Watch?
No.
Shoot. So I have the director of that, all those actors. Give me the six words, I guess. I'm not doing as
A
good as this, I
comedy
thought.
centered around four couples.
It's not Four Christmases, because that would have what's her face be
It's not
high on
Four
it.
Christmases.
Four
And it
couples.
was also October.
Is it
However,
like
in the way,
grown-ups?
no,
That wouldn't fit with
it.
those.
In the way that Four Christmases has a word in the title from this description, there is one of the words in that description that is in the title. A comedy centered around four couples.
Couples retreat.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the number one movie of October 2009. Can you believe it?
That's back when comedy sold, you know? Comedies don't do it anymore.
The wild card hint was that it got a 23 Metascore rating.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't choose that. That wouldn't have helped me. Okay, so that's the first movie. The third one I already got was
Zombieland, yeah.
Zombieland. Okay, so the second movie I asked for something already. What did I ask for that one?
You have the director of Oren Peli
Oh,
and the description of after
or
moving into a suburban home. I think the wild card hint might help you a lot with this one.
all right, hit me with it.
It was produced for $15,000 but made $193 million worldwide.
Oh, Paranormal Activity.
Yes.
Well, yeah, the
I was
cast
really hoping
list
you
would not have
didn't guess
helped
for
me with it.
the actors because you would not have known any of them.
I'm surprised it really, I guess there are. It probably barely has more than six people in it.
Oh, nope. I had to change it to five because there are only
Okay,
nine.
yeah, I was gonna say there's like a baby, like a couple in there. Well, isn't one of the people is it like Megan Le something ML? Is there one actress with ML initials?
No.
No, no.
Katie Featherston, Micah Sloat, Mark Fredericks, Amber Armstrong, and Ashley Palmer.
Oh, the Katie might have
The IMDb
been.
page did have a few other people that were uncredited on there, so you might be thinking of someone who didn't get credited, and I
Nah.
didn't count them because
No,
of
I'm
that.
just misremembering, I think. The Katie potentially could have got me there. That's like the main woman for sure, but doubtful. Okay. I haven't talked about the fifth one at all. The fourth one, I have some info, right?
You have Spike Jones and that they're not top billed, but it
Give me the
also
top build
has
people.
Max Records, Pepita Emmerichs, Max Pfeiffer, Madeline Greaves, Joshua Jay, and Ryan Corr.
Those are the top six.
Yes, that's why I added the wild card hint for this one. Max Records, it like is the main character of this movie, I'm pretty sure.
And what are the six, what's the six word description?
Yearning for escape and adventure, I could give you one more hint for this one if you want. That's all I have prepared, but there's another one that would help a lot.
Wait, no, say that again.
Yearning for escape and adventure, a da da da.
Okay, give me another clue.
Arcade Fire.
Oh, James Gandolfini's a voice. Oh, those are voices. He's the okay. Where
Yeah.
the Wild Things Are.
Yes, Where the Wild
Today,
Things Are.
one of my favorite movie trailers of all time because of that Arcade
Yep.
Fire song.
Yeah, I was like, that would be really helpful. But as I was looking at it, I was like, I don't know any of these top billed people, but the voices that they have for this movie are amazing.
And then the fifth one, I mean, I'm doing really bad. So let's just give me the director and we'll go from there.
Bill Lord and Chris Miller.
Is it Kick-Ass?
No.
Is it... Those are like comic book dudes, right?
Miller. Oh, that makes sense how you got to Kick-Ass. Kick-Ass was done by the Matthew... the guy that just did Argyle.
Matthew Vaughn.
He also did the Kingsman movie.
Okay, give me the cast.
Bill Hader, Anna Faris, James Caan, Andy Samberg, Bruce Campbell, Mr. T.
And the description.
A local scientist is often regarded.
And the bonus, wild card.
This is a quote from the movie. It says, my dream was to help my hometown, a small island hidden under the A in Atlantic called Swallow Falls. We were one of the leading exporters of sardines until the Davy Brent Sardine Cannery closed when everyone realized that sardines are super gross. So everyone was stuck eating all the sardines that nobody wanted. Frozen, boiled, dried, fried, candied, and juiced. Life was gray and flavorless, but when things seem hopeless, I stared down at defeat and found hope.
I have no idea what this movie is.
This is an animated movie. Does that help?
No.
Animated movie about scientists and food.
Is it Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Yes.
Man, I did bad.
I think that this was a particularly hard month. Like, I've heard of most of these movies, but like, wow, that was rough.
The animated and voice acting threw me off. Those weren't even on my radar. That was my mistake.
Well, it also, like, the directors are not very famous directors other than Spike Jonze. Phil Lord and Chris Miller, I guess. But, yeah. Which I was like, I know that you really like horror movies, so I was like, maybe Oren Peli will, like, give it away to you, but I don't know if you really like the Paranormal Activity franchise or not.
I do. It's like not the best franchise, but I do like it because each movie I feel like introduces a new like idea, which is really fun. Like one of the second or third one introduced like the Xbox Kinect, because it would have like, it would just like lay out like sensors for you to like interact with the TV with. And that's how they like, you'd see like whatever ghost thing from those sensors, which is super cool. But I definitely didn't know the director from that.
Yeah. So hey, anyway,
Phil Lord and Chris Miller, well, Chris Miller, not Phil Lord, is from right near me, Everett, Washington, just north of here.
Oh.
Fun fact. Their follow-up movie after Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was 21 Jump Street. Fun movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think they've done quite a bit of like animated movies, too.
Yeah, they did like the Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse movies. And Lego Batman and some other animated stuff. Yeah. The comic book connection was because of the Spider-Verse is why I had them in my mind there. All right, cool. That was good, I guess. I mean, it was enjoyable. I really love movie trivia, even though I did really poorly at it. But I very much enjoyed that and would like to do more. So don't take my bad attempt at it as a thing of like, don't do it again.
Is there any other like category that would have been helpful?
No, I think that was good. I think it was just a rough set of movies and I don't know.
Okay.
Just gotta get better, you know? Can't hate the player or can't hate the game. Gotta hate the player. Me.
Yeah. I don't hate you, but that's okay.
Well, this is me.
This is the man test, Chris.
The man test, episode 6 of season 19. We start the night after Ashley getting voted out. There's almost like some jealousy of Ashley getting voted out because she gets to get out of the rain and the cold and the miserableness. We go to the next day with Foa. Russell says that he is cool with the rain if it gets somebody to quit. He's frustrated that people are so like complaining about the rain and not just dealing with it. On the other tribe, Galoo, we see the other Russell Swan fishing. Others are cuddling under the tree out of the rain. There's some more talk of wanting a tarp. They're blaming Russell for choosing not to get the tarp, which is accurate. That was his choice. Russell's being judged for working around camp while the others are just trying to stay dry and warm. And there's finally some clear skies as we head to the reward challenge. One person gets strapped inside a big like hamster ball.
Whoa, sort of. Wait. We need to talk first. about what this reward is for. I was
pizza
very annoyed
at Tribal Council. Oh, this whole episode I was so annoyed with.
Yes, because it has made very clear in the beginning, both tribes are going to Tribal Council. This will be a double elimination. Mm-hmm. And the tribe that wins gets to have pizza and watch the losers at their Tribal Council. But both tribes are going to Tribal Council and two people are leaving this episode. Mm-hmm. That's what Jeff says.
Yes.
It's not even kind of what happens.
No. So they do this challenge, trapped inside a hamster ball. Everybody else is blindfolded. The person in the ball has to guide them through stuff. And then there's a ball maze at the end. During the pushing of the ball and the maze, it's clear that Russell is really struggling. Russell Swan. Exhausted. And then he collapses on the table maze. Jeff notices it, calls medical over.
Jeff notices it way too slow.
Yeah.
Like, he was laying on the maze and his team is like, Russell, what's going on? And Jeff takes a long time to get over there.
It was interesting to watch, though. I feel like this is the first time I really saw like a switch flip of like Jeff called medical and then it was like the camera kind of like zoomed out a little bit and there was like 15 people in frame of like medical people there. Like, it was really interesting to see like how many people are ready for situations like this just off camera.
Yeah, that was cool.
They said that his blood pressure is even lower than Mike's when he got pulled earlier. Jeff calls the challenge over, no reward, still a double tribal. Both will vote out regardless of what happens with Russell.
Yes. So he says, whether or not Russell is back, right, you're going to Tribal Council tonight.
In which I started Googling on my phone, has there ever been an episode where three people got eliminated? Because I was like, this has got to be a first, right? Because he's going to get eliminated medically and then two people get voted out. I was like, this is nuts. And all the Google results were referring to some later season where like three people almost died from heat stroke in a season, which we haven't gotten to yet.
Oh, interesting.
So we go to Galoo where it's raining again. Monica is worried that Shambo will be like trying to get her out. And so she wants Shambo gone. Shambo asks the other women not to vote her out because she's like the one working the hardest around camp, starting fires. She's honest. Monica brings up that, yes, you are the one that's working around camp, Shambo, but you're also the only one who's written my name down. The guys are discussing ideas. They say that Monica is the weakest woman, but that Shambo is not a threat and helps in challenges. They think that Monica or Laura could be a good target because they're kind of tied together as like a alliance. They refer to them as like a mother daughter almost, because they're a threat being a pair, but leaning Monica.
Which is wild that like, I barely know these people's name, but apparently they are mother and daughter in a tight duo.
Mm-hmm. We cut back to the med check. Russell, they try to have Russell sit up and he passes out just from sitting up. And so they pull him medically. We go to Foa Foa.
There is a really nice like talk with Jeff and Russell where Russell's like, I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. And Jeff is like, you are not quitting. You have worked really hard. Your body's not taking it anymore. And we are pulling you from the game. That's not a quit. Mm-hmm. Like, you are not quitting. And then Jeff does Russell is crying. And Jeff is like, you get what's going on here. I'm going to leave. Which I appreciated Jeff doing, being like, I don't need to talk to you anymore. I'm going to give you some privacy.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of impressed at the this whole situation seemed pretty scary and everything. And I was impressed at how much of it the show showed and like the care that they gave to Russell during this time. I thought they did a really good job.
So we cut from there to Foa Foa. Liz and Natalie say to each other that they're probably voting each other out. Russell talks to Natalie, says that he's trying to keep her around and get Liz out. And then we go to Tribal Council with everybody. Jeff tells them that Russell has been medically evacuated. There's some discussion of being sad for that being the way that Russell had to go out. Shambo mentions being just a girl from Renton, which is a suburb of Seattle. And so I looked it up and I was like, is that the Renton? And it is. She's from Renton, Washington. Very close to me. Jeff says that there will be no vote, which I noted sucks because I was really looking forward to a double elimination after all of this.
Yeah, I was like, you went from two people are going to get eliminated to one person gets eliminated.
Yeah.
Like, I would guess that they were like, no, we can't have three people go out. That's a problem because, like, we need so many people at the merge. And it wouldn't be fair for us to say, like, Galoo doesn't have to vote, but Foafoa does. Because earlier in the season, Foafoa had a medevac and then still went to Tribal Council that same episode. So maybe they were like, fine, nobody votes out.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm surprised they included the clip of Jeff being like, no matter what happens, we're going to double vote out at Tribal. And then they don't.
Yeah. I was like, so.
Because like, if it's
a lot of like, and talk about like, what's the vote going to be? And I was like, oh, since there's no pizza and everybody's at Tribal Council together, like, are they going to like see each other's results as they happen? That's exciting. That's fun. No, just goodbye. Go home. See you later.
Yeah.
I was so annoyed.
Yeah. So Foafoa is happy because they're already at five people. And so even Russell seems like happy by this, even though he wasn't like one that was going to have to be eliminated because he wants to keep numbers around for the merge, I think. He's confident the momentum is shifting. Eric is eager to challenge them. And Galoo has to choose a new leader back at camp. And when that's where we leave, headed into the last episode we're going to talk about this week, Houdini Magic. We start the night after Tribal with Galoo. The guys want to keep Shambo around, kind of as like a number in their vote. And then burn her at final five, quote, bros before hoes, which is a very 2009 thing, I feel like. We go to the next day, day 16. Foafoa feels confident that they can try and run a sweep of challenges. On Galoo, the guys want to elect Shambo as chief. And so they basically like just do a quick vote while everybody's under the shelter before like people can really think about it too much. And so Shambo gets elected as their leader. She said, which she like kind of gives a speech, which I tried to note down. She's like, my first act as leader is going to be motivation, and I'll try not to be too bossy. But then we don't like, I was expecting her to do something with that motivation of like motivating them, and we didn't see any of that.
Yeah, she's basically just like, I'm not going to be a hard ass on all of you, mm-hmm. because that's what you think I'm going to be. I'm not going to be a hard ass, which is fine, I guess.
Yep, we go to the reward challenge where they play a memory game revealing items below covers. And this one had, I don't know if this is the first, is this the first time they've had this little twist where you can keep the item?
I think so.
I
had
that.
An issue with this challenge too.
Oh, so I normally, like when they did the big camera zoom out and showed it was going to be the memory game, I like sighed audibly because those are like the most boring challenges to watch, I feel like. The fact that you can keep items, so there's all these items under like cloches and you can reveal them. And if you get a match, you get a point for your team, or instead of taking a point for your team, you can keep whatever the item is, which was a nice little twist on this. I thought, the reward for the winning team is a sailboat excursion with lunch. Galoo gives up the very first point for a fire making kit. Most partially, I think because that fire making kit, or actually they don't know about it coming wrapped in a tarp because they only get to see a small version of the fire making kit. But then it turns out that the actual fire making kit comes wrapped in a tarp, which is a huge plus. Then Glue ends up winning this, but
here, wait, sorry, one second. Okay.
Glue ends up winning this, but they like had such a lead that they basically just needed to stop Foafoa from like getting the last two items or something like that. And so, in winning one of those final items, Jeff is like, all right, Galoo wins, and they should have been able to keep the last item.
Yes, that was my issue with this. I was like, Foafoa was down by three, and there were three matches left. And so with Galoo finding a match, they should have been able to not take the point, mm-hmm. but still secure the win, because Foafoa could only get up to five when Galoo right. had six at the time. And but Jeff doesn't like ask them if they're going to take the item, but they should have been able to get the item.
Yeah.
I was like kind of annoyed by this and surprised that no one brought it up or mentioned anything because they should be getting that supplies. It doesn't really matter because this is also a weird challenge to do like 2 days before the merge.
Yeah.
But
That seems like the exact sort of thing that, like, I feel like Tyson has talked about on his podcast, that he'll like ask questions or try to argue points, and sometimes they just tell him to shut up or whatever. But that seems like the exact sort of thing that Tyson would have argued for, to be like, no, that is our item. Like, we don't want the point, we want the item.
right, absolutely.
And then with Galoo winning, they also get to send somebody to Foa Foa, and they choose to send Shambo chooses to send Laura to keep the guys strong for the next challenge, and because she does not want to go again, which the other women like Laura and Monica don't like this choice and think that it's not fair. And I was like, Shambo went twice in a row. You want her to send herself over there? Like, what are you talking about?
I agree with you here. I do think that it was Laura ends up competing in the immunity challenge. And I was like, you should be sending someone that you will then sit out in the immunity challenge.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I was a little bit surprised by that move.
Yeah, so we get some time with Foa Foa. They greet Laura. Russell proposes a final three alliance to Laura with him and Natalie. He knows they won't have numbers at the merge, so he's trying like a new angle of creating an alliance with some Galoo people. He then tells her final two. He tells her that Ben found their idol but didn't play it and left with it.
I liked
Laura.
this move in part because it's like, hey, Laura, you got sent over here. You're not with your tribe right now. So you're probably on the bottom over there. So join us instead.
Laura talks about riding her motorcycle, her Harley. Did you know Laura has a Harley? Because she mentioned riding her Harley like 10 times, I feel like, in 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, like, did you want her to not talk? Because you're being a real Liz about this. We want to be friends with her, Chris. Natalie's doing a good job befriending her, Chris.
That is true. Liz is annoyed that Laura and Natalie aren't helping her on camp. They're just talking. Russell thinks Liz should just be quiet. And we get some time seeing the reward of Galoo sailing on a big ass like pirate ship sort of thing, enjoying their pirate life.
Yeah, this looked real fun.
Yeah. And we jump to day 18, skipping day 17 altogether, I think, to the immunity challenge, where they have to paddle out to collect fish-shaped puzzle pieces. They retrieve them with like fish hooks. They're underwater. And then put them together in a kind of like cool fish-shaped puzzle sort of thing. Jeff asks Mick where his leadership necklace is, and he says he left it back at camp because it might be bad luck. Foa Foa has an early lead. They're the first with the puzzle pieces. There's some bickering between Dave and Shambo. Galoo's not too far behind. Jason is struggling and tired and frustrated, and Galoo pulls out the win. So we spend the rest of the episode with Foa Foa, like we have most of the episode so far. Jason says he's embarrassed that they lost. Liz is like, huh, how do we lose this lead? Like, knowing that it was partially Jason just like giving up in the puzzle. Russell to Liz talks to Liz that the options are Natalie or Jason. We go to Tribal Council. Jeff says that they have one of the worst performances of any tribe ever. They've got to be like
He
second
never
to
saw
the
season 44, huh? Season 45.
what was before Guatemala? What was the before
Pull
Guatemala?
out.
Was that Bobby John and Stephanie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oolong, I think.
Russell says that the other tribe has outplayed them and outlasted them, but he will outwit them. Liz gets voted out 4-1. So it has been a very Foa Foa centric first half of the season, first seven episodes. They went to Tribal Council. I mean, I guess six of the seven. They had to vote people out five of the seven episodes because one of those did not have a vote out at Tribal Council. And
Yeah, because they're down to four. Yes. They started with 10, but one of them was a medevac. That's what I was trying to.
So next week we're going to talk about episodes 8, 9, and 10, with 8 being the merge. So we'll get to see what merge life is like. The week after that, we'll do 11, 12, and 13, which will be a slightly lighter week because 11 is like a look back at the first part of the season, and those episodes aren't usually worthwhile. And then the week after that, we'll finish out the season with 14, 15, 16 before we get into Survivor 46. Yeah, so it's been a interesting first half of the season. I'm excited to see how the merge goes. I think mostly to see how Russell meshes with the glue people.
Yeah, have we discussed the fact that we have been slightly spoiled for this?
I think so. I think last week we kind of talked about it. I know, like, the winner. You said you know the runner-up, but maybe not the winner.
Right. Listeners, skip this if you don't want to know the winner or the end of the season. I know that Russell is, like, in the finale, but doesn't win. Which I'm very intrigued by at this point, because I'm like, Foafoa feels like they should just be picked off one by one. So is this going to be similar to Token Genes, where it's just like Galoo just is going to implode on itself and use Foafoa for numbers until Foafoa are the last remaining? Is that how that's going to work? I'm kind of intrigued by this endgame.
Yeah, I could see maybe that happening. We saw in this most recent episode with Russell trying to form some bonds with Laura of Galoo, so maybe he'll get kind of pulled in as a number there. Yeah, because I feel like Galoo has a guy alliance plus Shambo, and so they're going to want to kind of pick off Monica and Laura. Is Kelly still on their tribe?
Yes.
Okay, I don't think I have a single note about Kelly in this whole set of four episodes we just watched.
Yeah, she's been non-existent.
Yeah, so we shall see. But we'll have to wait till next week to get into that. Patrick, do you have a luxury item this week?
I do. It is super specific. Last week, you talked about Costco. You actually talked about Shepherd's Pie, but you mentioned seeing it at Costco.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe getting some at Costco and then making some yourself. And we went to Costco this weekend, Saturday. And we got some cheese at Costco that I am obsessed with. So I am specifically recommending the Kirkland Signature Sartori Cabernet Sauvignon Bellavitano cheese.
So like a purple rind?
Like, yes, as a purple rind, and it has like hints of wine in the cheese. Mm-hmm. And it is so good. I think that I could eat an entire block in one sitting if I let myself. Just do yourself a favor if you have a Costco membership and get some Bellavitano Cab Sav cheese. It's
amazing.
Some
good cheese. I just had some of that on Thursday.
I had some of it last night, and I'm going to have some of it after record. It's so good.
Nice. Love that. If you're looking for a new snacky treat sort of thing, Costco just got, I think fairly recently, they have these things called turtle chips, which are like chocolate-covered churros, basically, in like a big snack bag. They're pretty tasty. My luxury item this week might be one that I had be a luxury item like a year ago. I don't remember, but I'm going to recommend it again anyways, if that's the case, which is the Royal Rumble, the Wrestling Royal Rumble. Every year the WWE has a Royal Rumble. They've been doing it for, I think this year was the 40th year. And so me and my friends get together and watch it. I have virtually like no other wrestling knowledge or experience. I never really watched it much like as a kid. But the Royal Rumble is a blast. If you're not familiar with it, what they do is it is 30 wrestlers that compete. Last man standing wins. And they start with one, and every 90 seconds, a new wrestler comes out and enters the ring. And that just happens until all 30 are out, and then only one person's in. The rules to get eliminated are you have to leave the ring over the top rope, and both your feet have to hit the ground. And so sometimes people get like thrown over, but then they'll like hold on and their feet will be dangling. One year, like 10 or 15 years ago, there was these guys who pulled pancakes out of their pants and threw them on the ground. And so they landed on their pancakes instead of their feet touching the ground. And so that was a way that they stayed in and were able to get back in the ring.
That's awesome.
But it's very fun to watch. Just like the lore and stories in wrestling are just wild. And then like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they added a women's version too. So there's a women's Royal Rumble that's 30 women wrestlers, and then the men's that's 30. And it's just very fun to watch. Me and my friends will draw names out of a hat. And so we have like set numbers. So like last night for my wrestlers were like the fourth wrestler, the 14th, and the 24th. So when they came out, those were my wrestlers. And so if they eliminated somebody, I got to like give a drink out to somebody. Or when they got eliminated, I had to take a drink. And we have like different drinking rules. It's very fun. I think all the history of Royal Rumble is available on Peacock if you're interested in any of them. They're pretty fun. We often will watch like the new one from the year, and then we'll watch like an old one from like the 2000s or the 90s or something like that. Just a fun time, fun group hangout. We did a new thing last night where when they came out, we all thumbs up or thumbs down on if their outfit was cool or not. And if it was majority cool, then we all took a drink. So yeah, fun times. Highly recommend.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Listeners, let us know your favorite Costco item to get, or if you're a wrestling fan, your favorite wrestler. Or we've had like two emails back to back all about fantasy and Survivor. So if you've been doing your own fantasy Survivor stuff, send us ideas, since we're kind of reworking our idea for the upcoming season. And you can send us those ideas at travelcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. For this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.